You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hi, how are you? Welcome to the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm talking with an award-winning hairdresser with more than 30 years experience behind the chair, as well as a salon owner and expert educator. Jeffrey is the founder of Jeffrey Herberg Education, which in 2016 and 17 was a finalist for excellence in education. In addition to his acclaimed educational courses, he has also brought his work to a global level as an ambassador for some of the salon industry leading brands. Today, we're talking about everything from the keys to a successful consultation, building confidence through technique, and how hair professionals can begin to consider becoming a brand ambassador themselves. So let's jump right into it and get to the good stuff. Jeffrey, thank you so much for joining me at the Salon Owners Collective podcast. I'm super pleased to have you here today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to see you. I haven't seen you since Hair Expo.
That's right, even though we're not really seeing each other. We are talking, though.
That's true.
Hey, why don't you tell us, you know, how you got into this industry, what has been your journey thus far, and tell us a little bit about your business as it is today.
All right. So this year I celebrate 30 years as a hairdresser. Thank you. Yeah, really long time. Probably a lot longer than some of the audience people in the out there in the audience listening to us. But my mum was a hairdresser, and she was a really famous hairdresser in the day. She was the winner of the Wave or Wave competition. So for those of you who remember that far back, it was a perming competition, and she was won the Australian award for this perm that she did in the day. So I actually didn't want to be a hairdresser. I wanted to be a chef. And my dad was a mechanic, and, you know, no bloody son of mine's going to be a hairdresser. but, you know, I did try chefing for about a month and did like the idea of split shifts in those days. You know, you went to work for a few hours in the morning, you went home, you came back and worked at night. So I started hairdressing, and obviously my mum, she was also a teacher at TAFE. She used to teach hairdressers at TAFE College in Brisbane. And she started me at home. So I started doing my friend's hair at home when I was at high school. I did my school formal partner's hair for the formal, and everyone said how wonderful it was. And mind you, in the day, she did have a perm, and all I did was scrunch it and put lots of hairspray and tease the fringe up. So that's where I started my hairdressing career, and I absolutely love it. During my time as a hairdresser, I've obviously was teacher's pet at college, won lots of awards at college, and I started entering competitions. And along my journey along the way, it's given me lots of confidence. My time management is better. Understanding creating shapes is all due to the fact that I started doing competition hairdressing. And from there, I started to enter lots of awards. And my first award, big award that I won, which was the Photographic Award, was for Avant-Garde Hairdresser of the Year. And from there, I started to enter lots of awards. I've won Queensland Hairdresser of the Year many times. I've been finalist for Australian Hairdresser of the Year three times. I've won Australian Colourist of the Year three times. But the whole thing about this for me doing those awards wasn't about ego. It was all about points of difference that I could help to grow my business. And before I grew up, I actually opened my salon. I had my salon for about 15 years called Chemistry for Hair. Prior to that, I worked at John LaCourte, did my training there, and then went on to work for L'Oreal as a technical advisor. Decided I had enough of that and opened my own salon for Chemistry for Hair. So that was great. Did that for 15 years, and I thought, you know, I absolutely love the industry. I was exhausted. I had 23 staff. It was a big business to run, and I thought I just needed some time out. So what I decided to do then was many, many years I'd been doing education for product companies, and I decided to go out and set up my own brand. So that's what I've been doing for the last 5 or 6 years, and I've been really fortunate enough to be finalist for Excellent Education for the last couple of years. So really big achievement, because there's some really amazing hairdressers out there. So yeah, that's my life in a nutshell.
Congratulations. It's an awesome story. Very inspiring to see you go through, you know, the different stages. Not too dissimilar from my own journey, actually. I really loved doing long hair in Avant-Garde and won a few awards, and also worked doing long hair as you do, as your area of expertise. So yeah, I find that story really interesting. That's awesome. So, look, one of the things that you, I know you've got a course around long hair, And I know in my time when I first had my salon, I was petrified of long hair, but I kept having my clients asking me to do their long hair and their weddings and so forth. And I would just take a painstaking amount of time to do it because it petrified me. And I suppose it was just lack of confidence. This is something that you teach people. I'm really interested in that initial part of the consultation around long hair or design or even wedding hair. You've got some knowledge around this. What can you share with us around consultation and long hair?
Look, one of the things I talk about with the students when we first start is a lot of people aren't confident because they don't know where they're going. You know, sometimes you start a hairstyle with a client and then they make a little comment along the way and it sort of throws you off a little bit, or, you know, we do get frustrated, you know, when it's not looking exactly how we expect it to look. But I think one of the things that I find when I'm teaching the young ones is they don't know how to prepare their hair properly to start with.
Okay.
You know, so we talk about working with different hair types, and I relate hair to like fabric. So when you're working with fine hair, I relate that to like working with silk. You know, you would treat hair differently that's like silk or hair that's more like wool, you know.
Yes.
and I think too, being realistic with you when you're working with long hair, like, you know, can I make a suggestion? Look, I think that looks fantastic. However, with your hair, I would probably suggest we do something more like this. And I break it down into this is where we are, where are we going, and how are we going to get there? Because I think all long hair always has to have a starting point or an anchor point. So in our classes, we talk about using different products and layering them to change the fabric that we're working with, but also to we you know, the right tools for the right job. You know, I think a lot of us as hairdressers, we don't have the right tools for what we actually want to achieve. So we break it down into really simple steps. A lot of our classes, we teach lots of different techniques, and it's combining those techniques that you create the hairstyle.
Yes, I actually really like that because it gives you the creative freedom to still design and be bespoke per client, but some kind of confidence that you've got techniques or things that you can pull together and create something. I think that must give your students incredible confidence as they leave to be able to have tools to piece together. Would that be fair?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's why I do what I do. I love those light bulb moments, you know, and you can almost hear the penny hit the ground when they get it. You know, because it's just giving them the confidence to be able to do something. You know, not to get a hairstyle that looks exactly the way that I've done it, but teaching them lots of different tips and techniques that they can combine together to create something that's their own.
Yes, yes. I just think that is so great because I think back to those days when I took such a painstaking amount of time, it was because I didn't have the tools in my toolkit to, you know, create something. So when you're talking with the client, you gave us a little tip there about, you know, redirecting her and to be realistic. Do you have any good sort of questions that you ask specifically to a client before you dive into the long hair process?
Absolutely. Like, I think probably when you think about what a complaint is from a client, it's a challenge that hasn't been met. So I always talk about, you know, with your client, showing the pictures, you know, finding out about the event that they're going to, how long they expect the hairstyle to last, the type of outfit that they're wearing, you know, those sort of things are really, really important because, you know, sometimes they might turn up on the day and they might need more hair than they actually have. Mm. You know, like if you've, there's so many things that you talk about your client, to your client about, you know, what's involved. And be honest, like I think as hairdressers, we do overpromise and underdeliver. You know,
why do we do that?
Oh, you know, I just think because we're people pleasers. You know, we want everyone to look good and feel good. But you know what? I often say, darling, this is a comb, not a magic wand.
I like that. And you can have a little bit of fun with it, right?
Yeah, do you know, like I don't do it in a rude way.
Yeah.
But I just say, you know what? Like, let's be realistic here. Come on, can I make a suggestion?
Yep.
The girl in the picture, you know, her hair is like this. Your hair, for example, is a different colour. So obviously it's not going to look as smooth and shiny as that picture. Or, you know, like so many different areas breaking it down as to why they can't have that look. And most of the time I cover up the model's face because they all just want to look as pretty as she looks.
Yes, yes. Good. Yes, absolutely. I think that's fair. Because actually they're not really, unlike us, they're not dissecting the style. They're just looking at the overall glamour of the picture and just wanting that.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things I focus on too is when I started hairdressing, as would yourself, Larissa, everything had to be so neat and perfect.
Yeah.
You know, clients these days want it to look like it's been done by themselves, but just a little bit more professional.
Yes. Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like they don't want to look like the Christmas tree, but they just want to look good and fit. They just want to look good and feel good. Do you know what I mean? And look like they've gone to an effort but haven't gone too over the top.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think one of the things that you're particularly good at is breaking things down into a structure. And so I want you to share with us, you've got, I know you've got a class that's around lines, layers and graduation. And we were talking prior to chatting, you know, on this podcast now, and you talked about your cutting techniques having parents and children. And I'm going to let you tell the story, but I think you've got some real gold there that I would really love it if you would share.
Sure. Look, one of our more successful programs that we run is something called Lion Layers and Graduation. So our programs, we run workshops, but we also do a lot of personalized in-style and education. And there's not a lot of people that provide cutting education in Australia. You know, there's lots of great long hair artists and there's lots of great colorists, but there's not a lot of people that do great hair cutting. And to me, in my salon, like, I want my staff to have a really good understanding of how to do a haircut. When a client walks in, they know, okay, they can look at the picture and break it down. This is where I am, this is where I'm going, and how am I going to do it? So I came up with this program called Lion Layers and Graduation, because basically they're the three categories that cutting hair falls into. You know, we either cut line. Yeah. What sort of line do we cut? Horizontal, diagonal, forward, diagonal, back. We talk about layers, obviously the different types of layering techniques. We talk about graduation. And graduation is a really interesting one when I'm teaching it, because a lot of people don't understand that you can cut hair and make it move in a direction. So, for example, vertical graduation, we all know, makes hair move forward in a forward motion. It also collapses the weight. Now, when we do horizontal graduation, which a lot of us have forgotten how to do, builds weight up quickly and pushes the hair in a backwards direction. You know, so all of these little tips and tricks that I break down in my line, layers and graduation classes, I talk to them about the parents being those three areas. And within those families, they have their own children. So, for example, layers is a parent, and the different types of layers are their children.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I always try to paint a picture with words when I'm teaching.
Yes.
You know, because I think it's really important too that as an educator, you've got to teach people, because they all have different learning styles.
Yes.
You know, some people watch, some people listen, some people actually have to do it. You know, yes. And I think that's one of the things I'm always really adamant about, is understanding people's needs in a class as well.
And I think that's really important that you've brought that up too, because, you know, it's really easy as a business owner or even as an educator that we teach or manage people in the style that we are. So if we're really auditory or really visual, then that's the way that we speak and communicate with the world. It does not mean that people get what we're saying, because they might be the complete opposite. They might need to be really tactile and need to pick something up, and they don't get your words. They need to touch something and move something and do it for themselves. And I think the biggest lesson that I learned as a manager and as an educator is that to match people in the style that they absorb the information, not in the style that I'm used to giving or teaching.
And I think too, that's the way of the world at the moment. You know, millennials especially, you know, they want to experience it, they want to do it, they just want to be, don't want to be told what to do, you know. But I guess too, another thing that I focus on is the reason why we do things and why we do them the way that we do. Because, you know, when we were taught, it was just do it.
Yes.
You know, it was just do it. And I'm like, but why do we do it that way? And I suppose that's my point of difference in all of our classes. You know, this is the reason why we do this.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So
yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. It is the way of the world. I went to my 7-year-old son's beginning of the year class, you know, teacher thingy majiggy, and they were talking about the way that moving into the 2020, the way that they're changing the way that they teach in school. And it used to be very, you know, in the 50s, the desks all in a row and the teacher would stand at the front and basically talk at them. And then sort of in the 80s, they grouped people in little groups and in desks, but they still kind of taught at them. Whereas now they have an environment where they're talking with and the why, and peers are teaching each other. And I thought, wow, this is really, you know, they are actually embracing the new way that we think and communicate. It's not linear anymore.
And I think that's what it is. You know, we've got to engage with people now. You know, everyone's an individual and make them feel important.
Yes.
And that's what I really focus on in my class, is taking the time with every single student to make sure that they're getting what they need. You know, because often I would walk out of education and go, wow, that was great, but what did I get for that myself?
Yeah, it didn't match me, or they didn't deliver anything to me.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So you are an ambassador for several product companies. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, what is it to be an ambassador? How did you go about becoming one? What does an ambassador do?
It's really interesting, actually. Like, I suppose the reason why I became an ambassador, and especially the landscape of education now, how it's changing. You know, for many years, I was always known as the guy from Schwarzkopf, for example. You know, worked for them for 18 years. And I suppose now is that companies are understanding that, you know, sometimes within their portfolio of people that represent them, there are some areas that they don't have any strengths. So, for example, with my long hair classes, there are some companies that don't have any long hair artists that they can work with.
Right.
So they come on board and we work together. And obviously, you know, I support their culture, their business, talk about their products. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think it's a really great platform to not only help each other, you know, it's helped me help you.
Yes.
You know, and I've loved my ambassadorships like for the last couple of years. So at the moment I'm involved with probably about 6 different companies. So I'm an ambassador for Glampalm, which are obviously amazing. You've all heard about Glampalm, probably not so much in New Zealand, I don't think, but it's quite big in Australia.
Glampalm is styling irons, right?
Yes, yeah.
I actually have one.
Yeah, they're fantastic. So they have styling irons, blow dryers, that sort of stuff.
Yep.
So I also work for a company called Conceptual Brands, which distributes Milkshake, which is colour. They also distribute a brand called Urban Tribe, which is styling and hair care, and another brand called Depot. So they're just some of the companies I work with. I'm also an ambassador for Excellent Heads of Scissors. So, you know, that's a great relationship. You know, when I'm doing my education, why I actually joined them was I wanted to be able to tell my students or show them what was really good in terms of scissors, because, you know, how many of us don't know what sort of scissor we should be using?
Yeah.
You know, we just go and buy a pair of scissors from the local wholesaler and don't really know what we're looking for. So for my students, I wanted to be able to offer that. And so we actually have our own brand of Jeffrey Herbig Education Scissor, which are made by Excellent Edges. So that ambassadorship has helped both of us in that way. So, look, I love working with lots of companies. I get to travel and go overseas and participate in their education classes. And then my role is to also come back to Australia and then facilitate those classes to their education teams and to their clients as well. So it helps me. I'm always learning something new. I get to travel, but I also get to sort of see what's going on in the industry as a whole, working with lots of different companies, because they all have their own different philosophies and cultures. So it's
Absolutely.
Great.
So if somebody, a salon owner or a stylist, was listening and really had aspirations to get involved in that side of the industry, what would you say would be a must-do step?
Look, I think definitely develop a social media platform.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have followers. And I know in Australia here, for example, a lot of leading social media people, because of their social media following, companies want to be aligned with them.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So, you know, obviously build your profile. If you want to specialize in a specialist area, you know, build that profile to be the best colorist that you possibly can, and then market and promote that through your social media, but also by entering competitions and writing articles for magazines and, you know, participating in everything that you possibly can to get your profile bigger.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
But definitely that profile. Definitely social media is the way to go if you want to be recognized and have people want to be part of your brand.
Yeah. Yeah. And would you say it would be fair to think about who you would want to align with first and make sure you're using and you know, talking the talk first?
Absolutely. And this is something I've talked to a couple of my friends about who are also educators. You know, we do have some companies that perhaps aren't the, how do I say this in the right way? You need to be very careful about who you align yourself. And obviously, as you're working up the ladder, you do need to start out small and work up bigger. But, you know, I'm also a high person in degree of quality.
Yeah.
And I think that sometimes a brand could be the detriment to your brand, or it could be to enhance it. You've just got to think very carefully about it. And I guess I'm really lucky over the years of, you know, 30 years of hairdressing, I have great relationships with everybody. You know, I've never burnt my bridges along the way. I'm always nice to everybody because, you know, you meet them on the way up and you meet them on the way down as well.
Yes. For sure. Good solid advice there. Now, you are a stylist, you've been a salon owner, but you're still, you know, a business owner of your own. What is a mantra or a quote that has kept you sane or has kept you focused over the years that you can share for our listeners?
Look, I suppose the mantra I have now applies to my education brand. Mm-hmm. And something that we quote in all of our online presence and that sort of thing is a really simple quote, and it relates to education. It just means that if you can't explain it simply, then you don't understand it well enough.
Awesome. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so many people get up and talk about things that they really don't understand what they're talking about.
Yep. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they're just parents just waffling on you like, do you even understand what you're talking about? Because I'm not understanding you.
Yes. So, you know, coming from actual real experience rather than just ideas that you've heard.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, you've got to love what you do. And if you don't love it, don't do it.
Wise words. So simple yet so wise. All right. What is a book or a podcast or a resource that you suggest that our salon owners should listen to or read?
Do you know what? This is a book that I read quite some years ago, and why I love it is I was going through a stage in my life where business was busy, there was lots of stress. I'll be the first to admit it, I love the industry, but I'm not the best people person. And I've obviously got better at that from things I've learned and attending lots of workshops and, you know, reading lots of books. But one book that really stuck out for me, it's a book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff.
Nice.
So it's by a guy called Richard Carlton, and it's more of a personal development thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it taught me how to prioritize my day into levels of importance. It also taught me about what's important in my personal life and in my business life. Mm. Because, you know what, like, let's be honest, I think these days none of us really have much of a personal life. We're just work, work, work.
Yeah.
You know, and we continue to do so. But, you know, why do we work? So that we have a nice life. I think it's really important to get that balance. I think that book taught me how to have balance in my life. And also too, you're not going to be liked by everybody. You know, for those people who like to be liked by everyone, wake up, it's not going to happen.
Yep. You can't be all things to all people, right?
And we'd like to, wouldn't we?
We would like to. We would like to, especially because we're people pleasers typically.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. I think actually if there are some people that are repelled by you, I actually think that's a good thing because it tells you that you're doing something really specific, really strongly. And as long as you've got lovers in that space, but not everyone's going to be into everything. So if people don't love what you're doing, then that's telling you that, you know, there's clarity around what it is that you are doing.
Absolutely. And I find that as a teacher when I'm running my classes and workshops, you know, there's always going to be a challenging student in the class.
Yeah.
You know, and whether they, I could be doing an amazing job. It's just people decide if they like you or they don't like you.
Yes.
You know, and that's life.
Same in team environments too, you know. I always say, you know, if you can keep 80% of the people happy 80% of the time, then you're doing really well.
Absolutely.
You can't expect more than that.
Yeah, totally true.
Okay, look, fantastic. We have learned about creating a framework around our technical expertise so we can go forth with confidence. We've learned about how to become an ambassador and connect and build a social media following to, if that's, you know, where you want to reach out to. So, Jeffrey, tell us, where can people stalk you? Because you know that they're going to. Tell us your dub and your social links and maybe any programs that you've got running at the moment.
Sure. So we have three main platforms. Obviously, we have Instagram. And I think we have about 13,000 followers on Instagram. So it's Jeffrey Herberg. _ education. We also have a Facebook like page, which is Jeffrey Herberg Education. So for those of you who can't spell, because that's the problem, Jeffrey, GEOFFREY, Herberg, HERBERG Education. So I get lots of requests wanting to be my friend, and that's wonderful, but I think I'm pretty much up to my friend limit requests on Facebook. So follow us on our Facebook Live page and our Instagram. We also have a website, which is www.jeffreyherbigeducation.com.au. So on there, lots of our we have a blog that's on our website. We have all of our education events that are coming up. People can book and pay for our workshops. We run things all over Australia and overseas. Last year we did a big tour in New Zealand, which was great. Hopefully something in September for New Zealand this year. Awesome. But yeah, that's where you find us. So please say hi. We'd love to hear from you. Any questions you've got, I'm always there to help you. So please do.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
So there you have it. Now, thanks for joining me again today. This episode was brought to you by Salon Bot. You know that we're in an era of instant messaging, and if you want to be leading the way and really elevate your brand's experience, then Salon Bot not only saves you up to 70% of your time back and forth, but also helps you attract clients like a boss using modern messenger marketing. Now, check it out at www.salonownerscollective.com or come and join us at the Modern Messenger for Salon Owners private Facebook group. Thanks for joining me today, and I really look forward to seeing you again next week.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.